Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 164 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're going to talk some boys basketball later on, but right now my first guest is a former Ankeny Centennial standout who is now a junior wide receiver on the Grandview football team, and he has played a key role on the Vikings' run to the championship game of the NAIA playoffs. He leads the team with 8 touchdown receptions, and he's racked up 696 receiving yards for an average of 58 yards per game for Grandview, which will play Morningside for the title on Saturday in Durham, North Carolina. He is Gerald Sama. Gerald, thanks for joining me here in the office. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I appreciate you making the time for me today. I know you've been busy preparing for the national championship game, and you guys leave for North Carolina on Tuesday, and that's why we're recording the podcast today, which is Sunday. So are you guys busing down there? Is that why you know you're heading down so early in the week?
I know. We're flying a plane down there. Tuesday
oh, that's
morning.
A good deal. I don't know if you guys had the budget to do that or not.
But. Yeah. We took a bus down to Kentucky, and we don't want to do that again, especially North Carolina. So yeah, that's really good.
That had to be a long trip even down to Kentucky, huh?
Yeah.
Well, hey, before we preview the championship game, let's talk a little bit about how you got here. Of course, when you played at Centennial, you were on a good team as well, but that was a pretty run-heavy offense. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're playing an offense that is much more balanced. The Vikings are currently averaging 200 yards a game on the ground and 206 through the air. So as a receiver, I imagine, you know, you probably enjoy playing this offense a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, I do enjoy it a lot more.
Well, of course, you didn't go to Grandview right out of high school. You went to Iowa Western first. So kind of talk a little bit about how your college career has evolved.
Okay, yeah. So out of high school, went to Iowa Western first. Started off there the fall of 2017, was there spring 2018, and then going into fall 2018, I didn't have the urge or anything to play football anymore, I guess. And then after that fall, I was just like, I got to get back on the field. This is really – I'm kind of just wasting my talent not playing football. So I ended up going to RCTC up in Minnesota, was there for a season, and then ended up at Grandview after that.
Well, you guys right now have a 14-0 record, so it's obviously been a great year. But it's also been a long year because you guys played a couple of games back in the spring due to COVID-19. So are you ready to have a little bit of a break from football now? I mean, your body's got to be kind of beat up, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, in the spring of 2021, I was hurt, like, within the first 2 weeks, pulled my hamstring and didn't really get to see that much action at all that spring season. But I was cheering on my teammates. So.
Oh, gotcha. Well, you've really stepped up your game in the playoffs. You had 5 catches for 141 yards and 2 touchdowns in your team's 38-13 win over Dickinson State in the opening round on November 20th. And then in the semifinals on December 4th, you had 3 catches for 124 yards and 2 scores in the Vikings' 34-28 victory at top-ranked Lindsey Wilson College, the defending national champs. So has that been by design to get you more touches in the playoffs, or are you guys just kind of taking advantage of what's there?
We're pretty much just taking advantage of what's there. And I guess schematically, our coach set it up that way. Towards the end of the season, we was run-heavy offense. We was missing some O-linemen, so we just started running the ball more, trying to protect Johnny to get him into the playoffs. And then once the playoffs came, most teams were preparing for the run, stuff in the box, things like that. And then one-on-one, no one's guarding me pretty much, or really any of our receivers. So that allowed us to open up the playbook here in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you had an 80-yard touchdown catch to open the scoring in the game at Lindsey Wilson. Mm-hmm. And I know I heard Coach Joe Woodley on the radio earlier this week, and he mentioned that once you got behind the defense on that play, you know, they weren't going to catch you because you're maybe the fastest guy in the team. Mm-hmm. So are you the fastest guy in the team? You know, have you ever been clocked in the 40?
I've been clocked on the 40 before, but it hasn't been since my junior year. I think I can make a good running for it. We got a couple fast guys on the team also, though, that could probably make a good run for it. But on a good day, I'd say I'm the fastest.
So what have you been clocked at in the 40?
Well, since junior year, I think I clocked in at a 4.61, and I've pretty much just got stronger, faster since then. Stride length has been increased, so I'm really just – I haven't really ran a 40 since then. But
So you're saying you probably go faster now, right?
Yeah, I can definitely go faster now.
Well, you later had a 7-yard scoring catch in that game late in the third quarter, and that cut to Lindsey Wilson's lead to 28-26. And then you guys scored the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. You had a late goal line stand to preserve the win. Now, that was obviously a huge win for you guys. But I heard Coach Woodley say that, you know, he was surprised that you guys even got matched up with them in the semifinals because, you know, based on the rankings, you guys were third and Morningside was two. So was that kind of the matchup that you expected to have in the semifinals?
Me personally, no, because I expected that we would play the number two team cause since we were ranked number three and the four would play one. But that's what the commission gave us. So we just had to go down there and handle business.
Well, you certainly did.
Yeah.
Well, you've obviously developed, you know, some pretty good chemistry with your quarterback, Johnny Sullivan. He was the Offensive Player of the Year in the Heart of America Conference. You know, what is it about Johnny that makes him so good?
His energy, his emotion. He brings a lot of emotion to our team, a lot of energy to our team. And when you pair those two together with a really talented arm like Johnny, really the sky's the limit. So we've just been blessed to have him fall into our arms at Grandview, I guess.
Well, I haven't seen you guys play. You know, is he a guy that can kind of keep plays alive with his feet too?
Yeah, keep plays alive like there's no tomorrow. Just scrambling around back there trying to find an open receiver. If he doesn't find that, he takes his opportunity on with his feet, which is he has some pretty good feet too. So whenever he can get out and get us a first down with his legs, we don't complain.
Well, I should mention that you were a second-team all-conference pick and that there are also some other former Ankeny players on the Grandview squad, including offensive lineman Caden Young. He's a former Ankeny High School standout, and he was a first-team all-conference selection. Yeah. You know, so he's obviously been a key part of that offensive line, hasn't he?
Yeah, he definitely has. We were missing him for a little bit towards the end of the season, which hindered our yards, I'd say. But he's definitely a key piece to our O-line and our team.
And then I know the Gates brothers, Jensen and Avery, have also had some good moments in their careers, you know, as running backs for the Vikings. But I guess they're both injured right now. Is that right?
Yeah, they're both out right now. Jensen had a retirement and Avery towards ACL towards the back end of the summer program. So we're missing both of them right now.
All right. Well, let's take a look ahead to Saturday's game. Your team ranks fourth in the NAIA in scoring and fifth in total offense. You know, now you're playing a Morningside team that leads the NAIA with 56.9 points and 611 yards per game. You know, so are you expecting this game to be a shootout?
Hopefully it's a shootout. But if not, hopefully it plays in our favor and it's a blowout.
Well, the Morningside quarterback, Joe Dolinchak, he's throwing 42 touchdown passes while being intercepted just 9 times. But your defense ranks third in the division with 22 picks on the year, and you guys are allowing just 11 points per game. Yeah. So are you confident that your defense, you know, can maybe slow them down a little bit and possibly come up with a couple of picks?
Very, very confident. Our defense plays with a lot of speed, a lot of chemistry. So just like the Lindsey Wilson game, I don't believe that Morningside has seen a defense like us up to this point. And so with that being said, I think that our defense can shut them down, hopefully.
Well, the Morningside defense has been pretty salty as well. They're giving up just 17 points a game. What have you seen from their defense on film? What's going to be the key to attacking them?
The key to attacking them, I feel like it's going to be getting safeties blocked and making sure the safeties aren't coming down and making tackles. And pretty much just spreading their defense out and getting down the field, really.
Well, this game will be a rematch of the 2019 playoff game in Sioux City, where Morningside posted a 21-16 win, and then they went on to win the national championship. Now, I know you guys had a good number of fans, you know, make the trip down to Kentucky for the game against Lindsey Wilson. You know, what kind of a crowd are you expecting down in North Carolina? Do you think Grandview, you know, will bring a good crowd this time?
Yeah, I believe we've always traveled decently well, so I believe that we'll be able to have a good crowd down there at the game.
Well, if you guys can pull out another win, you know, and accomplish your ultimate goal, what's that going to mean to you personally to, you know, to win a national championship?
Being able to win a national championship at Grandview means a lot to me coming from Des Moines side. Being able to bring the Natty home, it's literally down the street from where I grew up. So that'll really just be that'll tie the knot to my college career, really, I'd say.
Well, you talked earlier about how, you know, you stepped away from football, you know, earlier in your college career, and then you realized, you know, how you were wasting your talent, so to speak. You know, what did you find that you missed about the game?
Not really the brotherhood a lot, but it's really just that camaraderie, I guess, and being comfortable with just like talking to people you really don't know. Like you on a football team, you got 100 kids, they're from XYZ, different parts of the United States and things like that. And then being able to just form a bond and go to war with them every Saturday for like 14 weeks straight, that's something that you can't just go out there and find out in the world. So that's really what I missed. And, that's really what brought me back to the game, I guess.
And what do you plan to do after your college career? I mean, do you have any aspirations to continue in football somehow? Or
Yeah. Regarding football in my career, my main goal is just to get better every day. And wherever area I'm weak at, I just want to get better there. And I think that the sky's the limit, honestly, if I just continue to get better. But not regarding football, I just want to be more a part of my community, I guess. So something along those lines, being involved with the community.
All right, Gerald. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it. And, you know, good luck down in North Carolina on Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny boys basketball team, and he has guided the Hawks to a 2-1 record thus far. He is Brant Carlson. Brant, thanks for joining me here on Sunday. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. Well, hey, before we talk about your team, I just want to get a quick update on your son, Dylan. Our photographer, Drew Wolf, took some photos at Drake's exhibition game against Drury last month, so he got a chance to see him play. You know, how does Dylan like it down there?
He likes it a lot. It's a good school, a great location, high competition. So he's, you know, grinding along like every college athlete right now. You know, it's a tough time of year just to kind of get into Christmas break. And Division II basketball is tough. It's a tough road. There's a lot of great teams and players, transfer portals, and all these different things. So his eyes have been open to a lot of things that are going on in today's college world. So it's a good experience, and it's time for him to grow up and kind of own his own career.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm sure he discovered, and not that you wouldn't know this, but going from high school to that level, I mean, it's just a whole different level, isn't it?
It is. And no matter what college you choose, it's a different level for sure.
Well, I don't know if any team has had a tougher opening schedule than you guys have had, but considering the level of competition that you guys have played, you know, you got to be pretty happy with a 2-1 start.
Yeah, of course. I mean, anytime you can compete at a high level, I think it shows a lot about your kids' character, because obviously practice time for us was limited, you know, with guys coming out of football. So I think that, you know, we couldn't ask for much more as far as record. I think we're really pleased with our guys' focus and just their attention to detail, and really excited about, you know, what they can have a chance to do this year.
We guys opened the season on December 3rd with a 54-44 loss at Ames, which is, you know, definitely one of the favorites to win the Class 4A title this season. Your team nearly overcame a 15-point halftime deficit in that game. So even though you lost, I mean, you're still able to take away some positives from that night, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely. You find a lot about your team when you're down, you know, as far as what their makeup is and what their, you know, kind of their confidence and just what their focus level can be. And they really did. They bared down. Third quarter was great. I think we held them at 2 to 4 points in the third quarter, got back in it, and, you know, down four with four to go. So, I mean, it was a good lesson for us, I think. But at the end of the day, he still lost, and I thought that was good for our guys just to say, hey, that's the level of competition that's going to be out there this year. So long season ahead, but we got some work to do.
Well, Ames is everything that I expected them to be. I know some people might question their depth a little bit, but boy, their starting five is just so good. And of course, Taman Lipsey's, you know, obviously the X factor. He just really took that game over down the stretch. And I know Ames ran into a buzzsaw in Waukee in last year's Class 4A semifinals, but you know, it's going to take a really good team like that to knock them off, don't you think?
There's no doubt about it. I don't know if there's a better team out there that's had that much experience returning, plus adding a few pieces. So they're big and strong. You know, they really kind of control the pace of the game with that point guard like that. So yeah, it's going to take a special team to beat them at the right moment for sure.
Well, then you guys bounced back on Tuesday with a 61-55 victory over a really good Valley team. I thought you guys showed a lot of resilience in that game because the Tigers came back from a 16-point deficit to take the lead, you know, but your guys didn't get rattled and they were able to right the ship and make some big plays in the fourth quarter to seal the win. You know, how important was it for you guys to win that game, do you think? Because you obviously didn't want to get off to an 0-2 start.
Yeah, obviously it was really important, I think, for them to believe a little bit. I think sometimes coaches, we can say a lot of things, but you got to prove that you know what you're talking about, or prove that your system works, or you know, prove that what you're about is worthy of following. So I was pleased that they were able to come through and got some free throws knocked down, got the lead back, and then started to really put some possessions together, which shows me a lot, because I think these guys still offensively have a long way to go. And for us to, you know, score that many points, I think, against a team like that was impressive.
Well, you guys were able to overcome a double-double from Valley's Eli Raridan in that game. He finished with 27 points and 10 rebounds. And I know that guy is headed to Notre Dame to play football, but, man, he's a beast on the basketball court, too. He's just a nightmare to match up with, isn't he?
He's probably the biggest athlete I've ever seen at the high school level. I mean, he is just thick and tall and fast and does a lot of things really well. So for our guys to kind of withstand some of that, I thought was impressive. And our two bigs, JJ and Braden, just kind of hung in there, you know, the whole night with him. So no, it was a good lesson for us, and I'm thankful we don't play him in the regular season.
Well, your team had a balanced offensive attack in that win with Ryan Crandall scoring 19 points. Carson Johnson had 16, and Leo Aguirre had a double-double with 15 points and 10 boards. Both Leo and his brother Alex seem to have bonded pretty quickly with the rest of your squad after joining the program this season. You know, and those guys really give you a lot of versatility with your lineups, don't they?
Yeah, and with Ryan and Carson Weedy as well. I mean, just big guards that can play multiple positions, defend multiple positions. So, you know, it takes a village, I think, in any sense of the word from an athletic standpoint. So we're really pleased with our team, how they've come together, how they really like each other, how they know that they need each other. And I think that's been impressive to see, and looking forward to seeing how they can continue to grow together.
Well, then on Friday, you guys played a similar game against Marshalltown, where you got out to a big lead and then kind of let up a little bit, but were able to hold on for a 65-53 victory. You told me afterwards that you were hoping your guys may have learned a lesson from that, but you know, the good news, though, is that your team has gotten off to great starts in both of those games, and really you did up at Ames as well. So you have to be pleased with the way, you know, that your team has come out for the start of each game.
Yeah, we're very competitive, and I think that's the tough thing about high school basketball, is sustaining that effort and then instead of playing quickly to score, playing I think quickly to move the ball and move bodies, you know, to make defenses have to work to come back versus letting them back in it so quickly. I think in the Valley and Marshalltown game, we just let them back so fast, you know, before halftime even. So that's a good lesson, and it's a hard thing to teach in basketball, that patience to move the basketball, share it, know that you're going to get it back, and just kind of be satisfied with easy things versus having to make great, you know, highlight plays. So just it takes time.
On Friday, you guys got a big lift from your post players. J.J. Cole came off the bench to score 14 points. He also had 8 rebounds and 3 assists. Braden Simonson scored 9 of his 13 points in the fourth quarter, you know, to kind of seal the win for you guys. You know, both those guys really came up big, didn't they?
They did, for sure. Braden's been around a long time. I mean, he's so trustworthy and knows our offense well and knows what he can do within it. And I think J.J.'s a great compliment to him, and they've played well together as well. So we're looking to continue to build that. And again, I told you the other night too, but this is the first team I've had where you can really go inside consistently and get a basket. And I think that's something unique for our guards to have to work with as well, just to understand you don't have to do it all. We can share this thing and let those big boys kind of handle some pressure. So it's been good.
When Carson Weedy also had a nice game, going 3-for-5 from three-point range and finishing with 11 points. You know, it seems like in these first three games, you know, what your team has shown is that you have several different guys who can step up on any given night. You just kind of touched on that. But you don't have to rely on just one or two players, you know, every night.
No, and you really don't know what game is going to take which player. I think that's kind of exciting. We've had different defensive alignments asking guys to really sacrifice points for the team. Carson definitely has done that the first three games and then was able to score late in the Marshalltown game. So, you know, it's nice to have guys that are willing to do that. At the high school level, you don't find that a lot, you know, but we talk a ton about having a senior mentality, and mostly seniors historically want to win. They want to finish on a high note. So a lot of our guys, even though some are sophomores and juniors, they really have a senior mentality right now and growing in that, where they want to win and they want their teammates to be successful in helping them win. So it's just kind of an encompassing program effort to get our guys to think in that way.
Well, you guys certainly have a challenging week ahead with three games in the next 5 days, beginning with Monday's non-conference game at Indianola, which is also off to a 2-1 start. You know, this game obviously has some intrigue because one of your former players, Braden Dre, has transferred to Indianola. He leads their team in scoring with a 16.3 average. So he seems to have made a pretty smooth transition down there.
Braden's a very good player. I mean, he started for us as a sophomore. And I feel like, you know, he's going to have a great career no matter what. So we're happy for him individually. You know, for me, I think in this day and age of transferring this and that, it's hard as a coach, you know, when you put a lot of time into someone, but at the same time, you know, from a family perspective, you have to just respect what they want. And I think at the end of the day, I wish him all the best and wish their family well too. So, I mean, it's no hard feelings on my end at all. And I feel like it's just going to be a great competition on the road against a really good team, against a couple guys, Braden, and including one of their other better players that, I mean, they have some high-level future college players on their team. So it's going to be a great battle.
Well, the other guy I think you're talking about is a really talented junior, Drew Kingery. You know, he can pretty much score from anywhere. You know, he's going to be a tough matchup for you guys, isn't he?
It is, for sure. It's going to be a great challenge. And I think it's just another game for our guys to continue to learn and grow together and learn how to win on the road. Indianola always has a packed house. And, it's a tough week, you know. And our guys, again, some of our football guys have been at, you know, sports here since June 1st, you know. So they're really finishing strong, but as any kid, you know, you're looking forward to Christmas break. And so how do we get our guys to give us five more days here and really kind of lock in and understand that every game, every practice is a build up to what you want to be in February and March. And so just to get them to be big picture guys and believe in that process and finish this week strong.
We guys will then close out the first part of the season with home games against Lincoln on Tuesday and Waukee Northwest on Friday. You know, and those aren't going to be easy games either, are they?
No, I mean, Lincoln has one of the best scorers in the state. I mean, really tough guard and a bunch of guys around him that play really hard. And, of course, Waukee Northwest with Sanford and their crew is, has the former Indianola coach there who just runs a lot of tough stuff. And they really spread you out and make you kind of make some choices defensively. So really unique games, I should say, this week for us, just all different. All different competitive levels, and just we'll need everybody on our team to be ready to rock.
When you have three games in 5 days like that, I mean, can you prepare for them one at a time, or do you kind of got to do them in bits and pieces? And
well, it's a learning lesson for every season. I think we've had different teams, different maturity levels, different experience levels, more than anything else that can say, hey, we can prepare for one team and then have a more of a verbal scout for the second game. So I think today, you know, we'll talk a lot about two games and just get a real feel for where we need to go offensively and defensively, and then have a few days to prepare, you know, for Friday's game. But we really believe in Ankeny, at least from my point of view, that, you know, once you get a lot of your preseason physical work in, it is a lot more mental work. It's a lot more repetition stuff versus beating our guys down in practice. And so we're really trying to make sure that they're fresh for games and really kind of, again, not over overwhelmed, you know, with physical stuff and mental stuff all throughout the year. So by the end of the year, you don't want to play anymore. We want guys to really finish well at the end of the year. So this is a part of that process.
Well, after Friday's game, you're then going to have a long layoff through the holiday break. You won't play again until January 4th. So that's about a 2.5 week layoff, yeah. You know, which seems a little longer than usual. It's almost going to be like starting the season over again in January, isn't it?
Yeah, to a certain degree. I think we need it. I think there's no question our players do need that time, and it'll be good to fine tune a few things and hopefully get some other guys that have been kind of working hard in practice, get them improved and get them ready to help us. Because I think it's hard to go through a season when you're playing only 7 or 8 players. You got to have 8, 9, or 10 players that are ready to go in big moments. You know, over the years, we've had guys to step up and do that. And we have some guys that are really young and just trying to figure out some things. So it'll be fun to kind of spend more time with them too and get our season kind of focused again toward the February, March time.
Well, I know Maddox Ward is one of the guys you got in there for a little bit the other night. I'm sure he's one of the guys that you'd like to see get a little more time.
For sure. I mean, I think he's a young guy that's played well in football and has a high IQ in basketball and really loves the game and has worked really hard too. So I think it's just getting everybody, you know, there's some other younger guys too that we've had in practice and just kind of excited to see where they're going to go as they've played sophomore ball and JV and stuff too. So have a great senior group of guys that have been heavy in our JV program that really help us in practice and just do a wonderful job. And again, I just want everybody to feel a part of what we're doing. I don't want anybody to feel left out on our team, and that's something we really strive to do.
All right, Brant, well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow night. I'll see you down there in Indianola.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Yep. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys basketball team, and his squad is also off to a 2-1 start this season. He is Bob Fontana. Bob, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you having me in. I'm doing good.
Hey, you bet. Well, it didn't take long for the weather to have an impact on your season. You guys were supposed to play at Mason City on Friday, but the game was obviously postponed due to a snowstorm in northern Iowa. It's now been rescheduled for Thursday. You know, but you're probably used to these schedule disruptions, aren't you, by now?
Unfortunately, yes. I sure would like to get the game in, but we can't, as I told our kids, we can't control the weather. We can only control our approach.
Well, let's recap your first three games a little bit. You guys opened the season on November 30th with a 54-49 loss to Southeast Polk. You had a 15-point lead in that game and still led by nine going into the fourth quarter, but then had a long scoring drought, and the Rams were able to rally for the win. You know, that was obviously a tough way to open the season, but it seems like you guys were able to put that loss behind you pretty well.
Yeah, we have, and you know, as I told the guys, I said we have to learn from it. You know, we had a lot of inexperience going into that first game, and we're still learning our way. Yeah, we just, you know, there are some things that we need to do a better job of and we continue to work on. So every game is a learning experience. It was just unfortunate that we had to learn the way we did that night.
We then bounced back with a 79-46 victory over Fort Dodge in your conference opener last Friday. Then you went down to Lincoln on Tuesday and came away with a 72-66 win in overtime. And I know you told me after that game that you had some guys grow up that night. You really had to overcome some adversity to get that win, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. You know, one of our starters, Jackson Snyder, didn't play that night. Yeah, he had an ankle sprain a few days before in practice, and so we were missing him. And he brings us, you know, some defensive capabilities along with some toughness and a little bit of experience from last year. So we had to replace that. And then one of our other starters only played a few minutes in the second half. And so we, you know, for the vast majority of the second half, we had one senior, three sophomores, and a junior on the floor, sometimes two juniors and two sophomores and seniors. So, you know, we had a lot of youth and experience on the floor, but, you know, it was great to not only get the win, but those kids grew up that night and dealt with some adversity and had some late game situations that they handled pretty well.
Well, yeah, Evan Bryan had the biggest shot of the night. He hit a three-pointer with 1.6 seconds left to force overtime. Now, that's a kid that hasn't gotten a lot of playing time yet this season. So, you know, that was a big moment for him. Even if it was an open shot, you know, that's not easy to make it with all that pressure on you.
No, not at all. And, you know, our kids executed the situation right. And I told them after the game, I said, yeah, we were delighted that he made the shot. But, you know, it was the execution that led to the shot. And because, you know, you can draw up whatever you want, but they still have to execute it. So I was proud of the kids in that moment. And you know, with Evan, we had high expectations for him coming into the season, and he had some inconsistencies, but he is starting to play better and on both ends of the floor, which is very encouraging.
Yeah, he used to play basketball with his dad, so I'm sure that's where he gets his ability from. Huh? Well, you guys are relying on some young players this season, like you mentioned. Three of the seven guys who played on Tuesday are sophomores. One of them, Reese Robinson, had a double-double with 23 points and 13 rebounds. Do you think maybe that was the breakout game that he needed to kind of show what he can do at this level?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, Reese is still a work in progress. You know, visiting with his dad, like he said, he goes, once he gets it figured out, he's even going to, you know, keep getting better. And he is a very aggressive player, and so we're just trying to work on you know keeping away from the fouls that you don't want to get, and also just working on the IQ part of the game. So, but that was a heck of a performance by him, not only offensively and rebounded, but also he was in a great help position, had some big time blocks too, because Lincoln's a very, very improved and a very athletic team.
You mentioned that you guys played most of the second half with just one senior. That was Caden Kelling, and he responded with 16 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, and 4 steals. And you told me that he had bruised some ribs in that game against Fort Dodge and really hadn't practiced at all prior to the game at Lincoln. You know, he's just a hard-nosed kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a tough kid and big heart. And he, against Fort Dodge, he got sandwiched going to the floor and bruised his ribs. And then so he didn't practice for a couple days. He did go light the day before the game. And then in the overtime when Lincoln's pressing us, one of their guys just ran at him hard, drilled him hard. He was in a lot of pain after the game, but it might be a blessing that we didn't play Friday night because he was still a little bit sore on Friday.
Well, of course, he battled some injuries last year too, so I'm sure, you know, you really want to keep him healthy this year.
Oh, yeah. That's what I told him. I said, hey, here's the deal. You can't be hurt anymore. You can't be no more injuries. But I know he can't control that, but no, he's a tough kid.
When you mentioned the injury to Snyder, will he be back this week?
Yes, he started practicing again. We practiced Wednesday, Thursday. He did a few things Wednesday. Then he practiced a full practice on Thursday. So he's not quite 100%, but he's getting close.
Well, you guys do have a big week ahead of you. On Tuesday, you'll go to Johnston to face the Dragons, the defending Class 4A state runner-up. They're off to a 3-1 start, and they boast a couple of really good players in Stephen Kramer and Trey Lewis. You know, that's going to be a huge challenge for you guys, isn't it?
Oh, big challenge. I went and watched them play Friday night, and those two guys are very talented. And, you know, you got to pick your poison how you want to go about defending them. But they got some other pieces, too, that are real nice. They've got a couple other seniors that do, you know, are nice role players for them. They start a 6'5", 6'6", sophomore in the post, and then they bring in a 6'7", kid off the bench. And then they've got another sophomore that played off the bench for them, too. So they have a lot of talent. It'll be a big challenge for us.
Well, then you'll have the makeup game at Mason City on Thursday. And obviously you guys had already prepared to play them, so that maybe makes the preparation, you know, a little easier. But they're off to a 2-2 start that includes a win over a pretty good Marshalltown team. So, I mean, that's not an easy game, is it?
No, you know, and you go on the road and, you know, I told our kids, you got to be a mature, responsible athlete. We can't control the weather, but we can control how our approach is. And, you know, they've got some weapons. They got every single kid back from last year. And like you said, they had a huge win at Marshalltown last Friday night. And they lost a really tough game Monday night against Clear Lake, who I think is ranked 6th or 7th in 3A. They lost by 1 point. And so, yeah, they have some weapons both inside and out. They got a kid that is very, very, very much improved by the name of Isaiah Washington. And he's their leading scorer right now. He's averaging a little over 17 points a game.
Your team will close out the first part of your season by playing at Waukee Northwest on December 21st. And then after the break, your first game will be on January 4th against the same Northwest team at your place. You know, so that's kind of an odd schedule, isn't it?
Well, it really is. You know, you have 19 teams in the league this year, and the person that did the scheduling it was just doing it for this year, from what I was told. And just there's some very odd situations, you know. So, like this Friday night, we're not scheduled to play. Then there's a Tuesday night in January. We're not scheduled to play, but we have a couple Saturday games. And playing a team back to back like that I've never been in that. The only time I've been in that situation is playing a team at the end of the regular season, and then they happen to be in our sub-state.
Right, right.
So,
well, of course, that Northwest team, they have Price Sanford and some of those kids that were on the Waukee team a year ago, right?
Right. Yeah, and they're young too. They don't play hardly any seniors. They play a lot of juniors. So. There's a lot of good talent in our league all across the board.
You mentioned that you guys have a couple of Saturday games. Weren't you supposed to have one like next week against Davenport West? Did that one get canceled or something?
No.
Or?
Davenport West called us a week and a half ago and said, we have a conflict. We can't come over. And we're like, hold on. The contract was signed back in May. They moved the Iowa-Illinois shootout that those Quad City schools are in. They moved it from the previous Saturday, from yesterday to next Saturday. And so they felt like they had to honor that commitment. So they're not coming here now until January 29th.
Oh, okay. We guys are looking to win a third consecutive conference title this season, but it's not going to be easy. Ames has to be the favorite to win the league, and the Little Cyclones already own a win over Ankeny. You guys will host Ames on January 7th and then Ankeny right after that on January 11th. You know, so that's going to be a pretty critical stretch for your team, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you go Johnston this Tuesday, and then we, of course, got the makeup game. But you go Johnston this Tuesday, and then you go Waukee Northwest back-to-back, and then you go Ames, and you go Ankeny. And I don't know anybody else in the state that would have that kind of stretch. And so, you know, we're just working on one day at a time, continuous improvement, and, you know, no matter what the opponent is or situation, we want to learn from it and get better as the year progresses.
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch any film on Ames yet. They do have most of the same guys back from last year, so I know you're familiar with them. But I saw their win over Ankeny and was impressed really by both teams. But the Little Cyclones obviously have Taman Lipsy, and he was really the difference down the stretch in that game. You know, it's like Coach Carlson said afterwards, you know, when Lipsy decides to take the ball to the basket, there really isn't much that you can do, is there?
No, you know, when he takes the ball to the basket, he's a lot smaller, but it reminds me of when Giannis just took over the NBA playoffs last year and he went to the basket and the Phoenix Suns couldn't stop him. So, yeah, when he goes, he goes.
Is there any player that you've coached against in the past that he kind of reminds you of? I mean, he's just so under control.
Yeah, he is under control. When I was at Kennedy, you know, Lindmar, when they had that slew of D1 guys, whether it was Jason Bohannon, and Jason was more of an off guard, but Marcus Page was that way too.
Sure.
And, you know, defending him was, was a tough out too.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah. Well, I know you told me before the season started that you felt like this team had a lot of potential. Well, what's going to be the biggest keys for this team? And I'll borrow a phrase from Matt Campbell here, you know, to become the best version of yourself.
Well, you know, I told our kids, you literally got to take one day at a time. When you start looking ahead and thinking ahead, that's when you're not going to improve. That's when you're going to maybe get beat by a team you thought you should have beat. And then, you know, it's I told our kids before the season started, I said, in our league, there's nights that you could play really, really well and get beat. And so you know, we just, to be the best version of ourselves, we just got to concentrate on what we need to do to get better individually and collectively as a team. And, you know, with the youth and inexperience we have, there's going to be growing pains. And so we just want to, you know, not repeat the things that maybe we didn't do so well. We want to get better, you know, at those things. And then the things we are doing well, continue to do those. So, you know, and you said borrow a phrase from Matt Campbell, you know, trust the process. And it is a process. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to that game on Tuesday. I'll be over there for that one, Bob. So good luck on Tuesday. I'll see you over there.
All right. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today for this special Sunday edition of the podcast. We had Gerald Sama of the Grandview football team talking about the Vikings getting ready for the national championship game on Saturday down in North Carolina. And then we talked some boys basketball with coaches Brant Carlson of Ankeny and Bob Fontana of Ankeny Centennial to look ahead to a big week of hoops ahead. Appreciate the time from those gentlemen to squeeze us in today. So come back next week. We might have a podcast next week. I'm not sure. I'm going to be heading out on vacation right before the holidays there, so I'm not sure if we'll have time to squeeze one in. But we'll either have one next week or we'll come back after the holidays with the next edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker.